You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now with 13 seconds left, the puck cleared away to center. The Capitals have it, but they are out of time. The puck left side for LaPierre. It is dumped in on Shesterkin. He will play it to his left, and the New York Rangers have swept the Washington Capitals in his best of seven. First round matchup, final score here in game four. The Rangers 4 and the Capitals 2.
John Walton last night on the Capitals radio network, heard on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. Boy, that went quickly. Swept in the first round of the NHL playoffs. Actually, the only team in the NHL's first round to get swept. Every other series is alive with at least one game won by each team. The Caps generated just 7 goals in 4 games. That's going to make it tough for almost anybody to compete in a series when you can't score. Didn't really get a chance to kind of talk and enjoy a few important games in the postseason because the 4 games all kind of lined up with the NFL draft, but whatever. Good morning, everybody. Alex Ovechkin, no goals, and just 5 total shots in 4 games. So that was a disappointment as far as the series goes. But, you know, next year he'll be back, and the chase for Gretzky's record continues. He is 41 away from tying the record, 42 away from breaking it. But look, around these parts, this time of year, the big story for most of you and me was and is the Washington draft. My God, Denton, the grades, the RAS scores, the NGS scores, the number of team captains. I mean, what a draft. I got this from Jackson. Jackson wrote, Kevin, this was a validating weekend. This franchise is in a completely different place. I can't believe we finally drafted like an NFL team. This from Leonard Sheehan, best we've drafted in years. Adam Peters should just take a bow and say, you're welcome. This from Sellers, the RAS score, that would be relative athletic score for those of you unfamiliar. The RAS score was the highest in the NFL. Lots of exclamation points after Sellers wrote that. Peters had a plan. First time we've said that about an off season. And then this one from Rep. Rep wrote, I haven't been this optimistic about one person in the organization since Joe Gibbs left in 2007. Adam Peters is a star. We have a combination of Howie Roseman and Ozzie Newsome leading our franchise. Rep, that's a hell of a combination. Ozzie, by the way, just not that you didn't know this, but Ozzie's not the actual GM anymore. He's retired. He's still a part of the Ravens organization, but Eric DaCosta does a great job. Ozzie, though, as a general manager, is an all-time great. That is for sure. So, please, do not take what I'm about to say the wrong way. Don't take this the wrong way, those of you who are ready to hand Adam Peters the 2024 GM of the Year award before an actual game is played. Because I too am more optimistic about things than I've been in a long time. I understand that feeling. But some of you out there just need to kind of slow it down a little bit. Take a few deep breaths. You'll both enjoy it more. Grading a draft a few minutes after it ends is mostly ridiculous. It's silly, really. Now, if your stated goal is to grade a draft based on a certain criteria that either you believe in or some of you have actually created yourself, like as an example, something like the value of the position in which players were selected. You know, that can be an in-the-moment evaluation. Warren Sharp has something he uses. It's called draft capital over expectation. It identifies the picks that were value picks versus those that were reaches based on, you know, some sort of average mock draft ranking of the players before the draft started. An example, Johnny Newman, Washington's first second-round pick, was supposed to be picked in most mock drafts in the first round, somewhere late teens to late 20s, but Washington got Newman at number 36 overall. That's great value. If that's what you're looking at in terms of evaluating, I don't have a problem with that at all. But as long as most of you understand, and I think most of you do, it really doesn't mean much in terms of what the player will become. I mean, the teams in the front offices of teams who are paid to get this right are actually deemed to be successful when they get it right on like 40% of the players that they pick. There's no way today for any of us to know if Washington's 2024 draft will be a success. I'm going to go through it and give you some thoughts because that's what we always do this time of year. But there's no way I or anybody else can possibly get to where Leonard got to when he wrote, "Best we've drafted in years, Adam Peters should just take a bow and say you're welcome." Or where Rep got, "I haven't been this optimistic about one person in the organization since Joe Gibbs left in 2007. Adam Peters is a star. We have a combination of Howie Roseman and Ozzie Newsome leading our franchise." Look, Adam Peters seems like a good guy and a smart guy, and there are plenty of people out there crowning his first draft, you know, already. I mean, did you see the grades? Holy smokes. CBS Sports, Washington got an A+. Sports Illustrated, A+. The Ringer, A. Pro Football Focus, A. Sporting News, A. Kuiper, A-. NFL.com, A-. USA Today, A-. The worst grade I found out there was the Washington Post gave it a B-. I think the evaluator, I think it was Maskey. I should have checked and confirmed that. I think it was Mark Maskey who gave them that grade. I mean, hefty praise, impressive grades, but they are just guesses. Like, here were the grades, and I went back and looked at this yesterday. Here were the grades of Washington's 2020 class. NFL.com, A-. USA Today, A-. Sports Illustrated, B+. Yahoo, B+. CBS Sports, B+. PFF, B. On that 2020 class. Kuiper actually gave it a C+. That was the worst I could find of the bigger named evaluators. I think most of you know now that not one player from that 2020 Washington football team draft is on the team anymore. You know, the real grade on that draft, now you can grade it, is something closer to a D+. Than an A or a B+. The WFT, Washington Football Team, 2021 draft graded out as A+ by DraftWire, A- by PFF, A- by NBC Sports, B+ Ringer, B+ NFL.com. I mean, that draft was highly thought of by some of the graders out there. The best player from that 10-player class in 2021, I think we would say is Sam Cosmi so far, right? I mean, St. Juice, Jamin Davis, De'Ami Brown, Derek Forrest have played a bunch of games, but the grade today, 3 years later, is obviously much different than the way it was graded in the moment. If I went back and looked at just the reaction to the trade made in 2022 in the draft, my God, when Washington traded back from 11 to 16 with New Orleans, I mean, if I spent the time, I could find hundreds, maybe thousands of tweets, notes from people saying, one of the best draft day deals in franchise history. Are you kidding me? We got Dotson, Robinson Jr., Turner, Howell, and the Saints. How stupid were they to give up all that for Chris Olave? But look, I think most of you know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to the choir here for, I think, the majority of you. Most of you understand what this weekend is, you know, in the moment. It's a great television show for starters. It is. I mean, to me, it's always been great listening to, you know, Kuiper and Jeremiah and all these guys that have put in the work and studied this all year long. It's entertaining. I've always loved that aspect of it. And it's a few days to fantasize, because that's really what it is, fantasize about what it may bring to your team down the road. It's also a couple of days to argue based on nothing really, but to argue about it and debate it. But the reality is, it's just 3 days in April that can't possibly be reasonably judged until 3 years later. That doesn't lessen the importance of it. You know, it is the best chance for teams to create, you know, the backbone, the foundation of a winner. It's super important to the teams, and I'm not minimizing that part of it at all. I'm talking about the in-the-moment banter, the in-the-moment evaluations. You know, whether you are Mel Kiper or Lewis Riddick or Dan Orlovsky or even Adam Peters, or you're my guy Leonard, who said that Adam Peters can take a bow and say you're welcome already. Nobody can take a bow today. Nobody can. With that said, we all have opinions on this thing. And, you know, Denton and I did the Friday night show together. And Denton and I both, we love college football. We watch a lot of college football. Some of you are the same way. I think the majority of you don't watch as much college football as you do the NFL or just the actual Washington Commanders specifically. My opinions on the draft every year are primarily influenced from watching an S-load of college football. That's my go-to always. Not the combine, not pro days, not all of the so-called advanced information on players. All of it's interesting. Not knocking any of it. But typically for me, nothing is as convincing, and nothing is convincing, but nothing is as convincing in sort of my initial impression or opinion as how they played in games with the context of, you know, situation, score, clock, etc. So, I will get to my thoughts on Washington's just completed 2024 draft class. You know, getting the number of players they did, six in the top 100, is certainly an interesting opportunity. You know, especially in a draft that many thought, and this is an opinion in the moment, that many thought didn't include as many draftable players as a typical draft, that because of COVID, the extra COVID year, but primarily because of portal and NIL money. You know, it's now much more enticing and many times lucrative for a player to stay in college rather than enter the draft. And with that extra COVID year, we've seen, you know, if you have, if you've been a fan of college football or college basketball over the last 2 years, you've just seen players that just seem to have been there forever. And in some cases, they are playing their sixth season of college sports. But Washington's class of, you know, nine players drafted, six in the top 100. I do have opinions on some of these players, and some of them I have no opinions on. Some of them I did not see as college players. I mean, I can read a draft profile just like anybody else can, but there are a couple of players I do have opinions on, having watched them as college players. You know, the other thing, too, is that there are many times that a draft is evaluated, even a few years down the road, where it may not be a true reflection of the capability of the player. You know, I think one of the things we've learned so much as so much more information has become available. But one of the things that I think should have always been very intuitive and sometimes wasn't, or it just got overlooked, is the situation that a player comes into. You can take two players with maybe equal capability in terms of the kinds of players they are, and one ends up in an organization that is solid and is the right fit from a coaching standpoint, supporting cast standpoint, living situation standpoint, whatever it is, and the other gets into a worse situation. Maybe they were the exact same prospect, and if you flipped them around, they would have ended up in the same place that the other did. You know, had the one player who got into the bad situation been in the good situation, he would have been successful, and vice versa. And the one thing that has certainly occurred to a lot of us, and I think it's certainly reasonable to think that the environment in which the players that they drafted today, or meaning in the moment over the weekend, are going to be coming into a much healthier situation than any player that has come into this organization over a long period of time. And that starts with ownership, of course, but it also starts with a normal sort of structure and infrastructure. And for my money right now, a pretty loaded coaching staff in terms of experience. Who knows? Maybe they won't work well together. Maybe a lot of these coaches on this staff are individually outstanding, but they're not going to work as well together. Or maybe they've overdone it with too many cooks in the kitchen. Who knows? But I do feel like Jaden Daniels, as an example, is going to be coming into an organization that's far different than the one that Dwayne Haskins came into, or RG3 came into, or Chase Young came into. And that the coaching staff in particular is very experienced. And there are some track records there that make the environment in which they are entering just seem a lot more encouraging. All right. I've got some opinions. Denton does as well. On the show today, Brett Bielema is the head coach at Illinois. Brett's been around a while. He was at, you know, Wisconsin. He was at Arkansas, but he's been at Illinois for a couple of years. He coached Quan Martin last year, and he coached Johnny Newton. He was a guest of Denton's on the Saturday show. So we're going to play that back for you 5 minutes from actually one of my favorite college coaches in the country to hear what he said about Johnny Newton. Ben Standig will be on the show, and we'll give you guys a chance to weigh in too. And I'm not going to hold it against you if you want to grade it. I think the right way to grade it is to grade it based on value, like based on some sort of consensus of mock drafts, which, by the way, are subjective. Some sort of consensus of that. How did you think they did in terms of overall value? But it would be nice if we could steer clear of the crowning Adam Peters as a combination at this point of Howie Roseman and Ozzie Newsome. Let's let him be the general manager of a team that plays a few games first before we do that. All right, thoughts on the draft when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, Brandon, I think, will come in and compete, you know, just like everybody else. And we certainly think he has what it takes to be a tackle in this league. And he's got the feet, he's got the speed, he's got the strength, and he's got the intelligence. So, and he's got the right mindset. And so he'll come in and compete just like everybody else.
That was Adam Peters talking about rounds 2 and 3, the Friday night edition of the draft, specifically talking about Brandon Coleman, offensive lineman, TCU, the only offensive lineman this team took in their 9-player draft. That was, I think, more than anything else in terms of biggest takeaways or the biggest thoughts from the NFL draft for many of you was, wait a minute, we had a major need at tackle, and we drafted a guard who may project to tackle, and we didn't take him until the middle portion of the third round. I will get to that coming up in a moment, but I wanted you to hear what he said about Brandon Coleman, because I think that was the one sort of, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of criticism at all of anything, not even much in the way of allowing for potential misses in this draft from many who have evaluated. But I think that would be one that some would say they should have done better along the offensive line. So let's just go down the list. Jaden Daniels, Johnny Newton, Mike Sanristil, Ben Sinnott, Brandon Coleman, Luke McCaffrey, Jordan McGee, Dominique Hampton, and Javonte Jean Baptiste. They're 9-player class. By the way, they signed a bunch of undrafted free agents, including former Notre Dame quarterback and former Wake Forest quarterback Sam Hartman, with a pretty sizable guarantee. We'll get to that at some point for sure. But let me just rip through thoughts on all of these players. Number one, Jaden Daniels. I think you know where I stand on this. This was the quarterback that I want. I think they did a nice job by taking him. No guarantees. But I think Jaden Daniels is a week one starter. It's possible that Marcus Mariota starts the season a couple of games, but I think he is, and I think it was well documented during the process of the last couple of months, that he's probably, along with Caleb Williams, closest to being ready to play NFL football of any of the quarterbacks in the draft. That's not why I liked him. Didn't necessarily care about 2024, but I think most of you know how I feel about Jaden Daniels. To me, thrilled beyond belief, very excited to see him play. I think there are so many things that appear to me as a football fan to be very translatable to the NFL level. And just a few concerns, as there are with every player, but I cannot wait to see this player step out onto the field. Real quickly, this is a total aside here. What jersey number is he going to wear, Denton? Somebody sent something to me, and I'm looking for it right now. I'm going to find it here in a second.
He's got to ask Tressway for number 5. You got to get Jaden Daniels a number 5.
Yeah, but, you know, because you now get so many you get so many different positions allowed to wear single-digit numbers and numbers in the teens, Washington, damn, I had this. Somebody sent this to me and I can't find it now. Basically, oh, here it is. Here it is. So, Mariota's got zero. Jahan Dotson's one. Deami Brown's two. The new kicker's three. Frankie Louvu's four. Tressway's five. Dante Fowler Jr. six. Robinson Jr.'s eight. Nobody's going to wear seven. Theismann, it's not retired, but it's kind of protected, I would hope. Nobody's wearing nine because of Sonny's jersey being retired. Allen, that would be Kaz Allen, right, is wearing 10. Jeremy Chin, 11. Jake Fromm, 12. Emmanuel Forbes, 13. Zacchaeus, 14. Milne, 15. Driscoll, 16. Mandel, 16. Two 16s. McLaurin, 17. Tinsley, 18. And Ibn Ogeni, 19. So, I mean, they're going to give him the number that he wants. He can't wear 7, he can't wear 9, but he's not wearing 0 with Mariota there. Dotson, Brown, McManus, Louvu. If he wants 5, he's going to have to pay way for it. He's going to have to buy up what's in circulation, which isn't going to be the same situation that, you know, Kyle Pitts was in with Kirk Cousins down in Atlanta. There aren't, like, a lot of Tressway jerseys to buy up, I don't think. And then you've got, you know, like Fromm's 12 if he wanted 12 or Allen's 10. I don't know. Just weird the way numbers now, because so many other positions have access to numbers that they didn't used to have, they fill up pretty quickly. There's a real desire to have kind of those single-digit numbers for defensive players. All right, back to the draft. Sorry about that. Johnny Newton. Denton and I were sitting here doing the show. Johnny Newton was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He was a monster and a disruptor as a defensive tackle in college. So my initial reaction when they had picked Johnny Newton, even though it was a defensive tackle, was that dude was a menace in college football, playing football for Illinois. Whenever you watched Illinois, you recognize number four. I don't know what jersey number he'll want. Johnny Newton was supposed to go. A lot of mock drafts had him in the first round. We didn't even consider him on Friday night for Washington at 36 because we weren't considering defensive tackle. What I like about what they did there is they went best player available. I think that's the way you should draft. And every single general manager has told me that over the years, that the biggest trouble they've ever gotten into is when they have drafted for need. Now, are you going to draft another quarterback at 36 if he's the best player on your board after you took Jaden Daniels at number two? No. So I think also at the position of defensive tackle, it's a rotation position. And Payne and Allen weren't rotating out enough. They played too many snaps. You have Phil Mathis, who really has, at this point, not shown much. John Ridgeway, who actually has played well at times, but Johnny Newton is a high-level talent. And disruption in the interior in today's NFL is big, and he can do that, or he certainly did at the college level. So I liked that pick. Their next pick was Mike Sanristil, the DB, the nickel DB corner for Michigan. If you watched Michigan, it was hard to miss him this year. Just an absolute great college football player. In many ways, kind of the heart and soul of that Michigan defense, which really led them along with that running game in Blake Corum all year long. This guy's so instinctual as a college player, sniffs things out, had six picks, kind of like Emmanuel Forbes last year, you know, led the nation all time in pick sixes. But this guy has a willingness to come up and hit. It's funny because I think with Sanristil and Forbes, and now with a different coaching staff, we'll see what happens with Forbes, but a defensive head coach and a defensive coordinator and Joe Witt Jr., what did they talk about in the days after they got hired and they were holding press conference after press conference? You kept hearing the same thing. We want to turn people over. This is what Dallas did the last few years. Dallas finished in the top three, I think three straight years in takeaways. I think they were number one twice in the last three or four years under Quinn, something like that. I may be a little bit off on that. And Sanristil is a ball hawk. So is Forbes. Hopefully they both turn out to be that for Washington. If you watched college football and you didn't recognize how important he was to Michigan, but maybe you think he's too small. You know, he's stocky at 5'9", 180-something pounds. But man, is he fearless and instinctive and anticipatory. So I kind of like that pick. Ben Sinnott is interesting. I just didn't remember a lot of him like I did, say, Cade Stover. Certainly not as much as Brock Bowers. But one of the, and we talked about this on Friday Night Show, one of the most entertaining games to watch all year was the Thanksgiving Day weekend snow game between K-State and Iowa State in an absolute blizzard. And Sinnott was great in that game. He does look, and many of you reached out to say, he looks like Cooley. He's built like Cooley. He plays like Cooley at the college level. He was a versatile tight end. You know, right now you've got Zach Ertz, who's an older, experienced player. But after that, it's essentially John Bates, who's more of a blocking tight end. You didn't have, you know, anywhere near enough at that position. And if that was the highest rated player on their board at number 53 after the trade back with Philadelphia from 40 to pick up 53 and 50, I like the pick of Ben Sinnott, you know, sitting here today as much as you can. Brandon Coleman, to me, look, I said this on Friday night to Denton. I can't tell you anything about Brandon Coleman other than what, you know, most people could tell you, which is they could read a pre-draft profile of him. That was the first offensive lineman that they took. Look, they have been working on their offensive line. They got themselves a very important player in free agency in Tyler Biadasz at center. That is a significant signing. They did not have a center heading into this season. And to get a veteran center when you're going to play more likely than not a rookie quarterback is crucial. They added Nick Allegretti, who started in the Super Bowl. He is a true guard. They are clearly looking at Coleman, who played more guard than tackle, as a long-armed projected tackle at the NFL level. He started more games, you know, at guard at TCU. Right now, as of today, the starting tackles week one are Cornelius Lucas and Andrew Wiley. I mean, we can sit here and hope that Brandon Coleman develops into something that they can start right from the jump, but nobody can project that today. We'll see how it's handled. Today, if they had to play a game tomorrow, Cornelius Lucas would be your starting left tackle, and Andrew Wiley would be your starting right tackle. He's an intriguing prospect. I can't sit here and tell you much more about the player that you've already read. You know, he's a guy who athletically shines. He is 6'6". He's 315. He's long-armed, big wingspan. Really hard to move from guard to tackle without the length, the arm length. It's a very key physical attribute of tackles. It's why when Brandon Scherff got drafted in the first round, and he got drafted, by the way, as a tackle, pretty much anybody that knew anything about his physical physique said, yeah, he's not a tackle at the NFL level. He'll have to play guard because he's got shorter arms. Brandon Coleman, to me, is a big, interesting part of this draft. Can he be a guy that is ready to play by at least 2025 at tackle? Did they get a future starting, you know, left or right tackle? Tackle, period, in the third round with Brandon Coleman? Nobody knows as of today. Luke McCaffrey was the last pick. That was the Chase Young 100 overall third-round pick from the 49ers. So I didn't watch a lot of Rice. I wagered on games involving Rice, but I did not watch a lot of Rice this year. I think most of you know by now this is Christian McCaffrey's brother. The Peters, you know, group, the 49er group, very familiar with the McCaffrey family. The tape looked awesome. You know, he looks like, you know, a guy that actually would fit in at a lot of spots. He's not short. you know, at 6'1¾", I think was his height. I think that was the height. But I could see him playing inside as much as outside. Late third round pick, we thought wide receiver would get drafted in the top 100. They picked a guy that was highly productive at Rice. And then we get into day three, Jordan McGee, linebacker, Temple. Has anything been addressed more now with the combination of free agency and draft than linebacker? Wagner, Luvu, Pittman, the dude Walker, right? And now McGee. This is probably a special teams contributor hope at this point in terms of, you know, where he was drafted. I know not everybody is thrilled with 139 overall for Jordan McGee. Dominique Hampton, safety. You've got right now needs for corner, which they drafted. I think we are unclear as to what this group thinks of safety, although they added Jeremy Chinn in the offseason and let Cameron Curl walk. So you've got Forrest, you've got Percy Butler, you've got Jeremy Chinn, you've got Reeves, you've got Quan Martin in some sort of role. Hampton 6'2", 220. Good size. Definitely would appear to be more of a special teams guy, but who the hell knows? Nobody knows at this point. You know, when you go back and you look at recent drafts, I guarantee you we said about, you know, the 2021 draft or the 2020 draft, yeah, this dude Cameron Curl, you know, hopefully at some point down the road he's able to contribute on special teams if he ever makes the team as a seventh-round pick. Started a lot of games for Washington, 60 during the course of his career. You know, you get a guy like Derek Forrest. Now, he missed that first year because of injury, but hey, this is a guy that's really going to contribute on teams. No, he has started a bunch of games. Hard to really know on Dominique Hampton or Jordan McGee or their last pick in the seventh round, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, defensive end from Notre Dame. I'll tell you what I am really interested in, and I'd like to get some sort of feedback. I've been trying to, more so than on picks, on the players that are on the roster that were on it last year. Because my gut tells me that there is intrigue with KJ Henry and Andre Jones Jr. from this group. Now, why would you say that, Kevin? They added two defensive players in the draft. They added two Cowboys, they did, in Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler Jr. And they added a 49er in Cleveland Farrell. You know, they needed NFL caliber players that could come in and start, you know, in week one next year. But I would be interested to know what Dan Quinn specifically, thinks of guys like KJ Henry, Andre Jones Jr., Jamin Davis, Emmanuel Forbes, a guy like Butler who can really run. Because after quarterback and offensive line, what needed to be fixed more than anything else was one of the worst defenses from the 2023 season, the Washington defense. You want to help out the young rookie quarterback, of course, surrounding him with weapons and getting an offensive line is helpful. You know what else is helpful? A really good defense that keeps you in games and doesn't put all of the pressure on the rookie quarterback to have to score every single time they have the football, which is something he's used to from college. The offensive line or lack thereof drafted. The only thing I can say is I think everybody knows this by now. The reporting has indicated this. They wanted to, well, more than the reporting, it's what Adam Peters said on Thursday night. They were interested in moving up into the first round to take a player. We think that player was an offensive lineman. We think maybe that player was Amarius Mims from Georgia. Perhaps it was Jordan Morgan from Arizona. But they, you know, they don't control that. You know, when you criticize them and say they should have traded up into the first round to get an offensive tackle, that's what was missing from this draft. you can't just pick the spot that you want to trade with and then force the team in that spot to trade with you. It's not the way it works. It takes two. And perhaps there were discussions that were too rich for Washington's blood, or perhaps no one was interested in moving off of their picks, you know, at that portion of the draft. We did see some trades. We did, but whether or not they wanted to trade with Washington or whether or not the player that Washington was going to take was a part of that, or whether or not the compensation that Washington was willing to pay was a part of that. But they were interested in going up and getting an offensive lineman. Doesn't always happen. And as far as, you know, reaching in at based on value, early in that second round, either at the Johnny Newton pick or the Ben Sinnott pick, or Mike Sanristil pick, they obviously did not have offensive linemen at that point as the highest rated players on their board. It would have been nice, I guess. We have no idea what their evaluation was, but if a Patrick Paul or a Blake Fisher or a Roger Rosengarten or a Sumachia from BYU, if they had made it into the fourth round, you know, where Washington had their selection, but they didn't. Yes, I would agree with all of you. At this point, based on what we know, it certainly still it feels like they need, if not for the upcoming season, definitely down the road, starting in 2025, they need to upgrade their tackle situation. All right, there's plenty of sound from Adam Peters, which we're going to play from over the weekend. At 11 a.m., Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl chairman, is going to be our guest. I've heard that he's an excellent guest and an excellent person to talk to with respect to the evaluation of drafts and how teams did. So Jim Nagy will be our guest from the Senior Bowl at 11 a.m. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
The season is over for the Capitals. They lose to the Rangers yesterday 4-2. That is a sweep. It's the first time the Caps have been swept in over a decade, going back to 2011. Much better day offensively for the Nationals. They beat the Marlins 12-9. The Nats have scored 23 runs in their last two games. They're 3 up on the Marlins, looking to finish the sweep off tonight in Miami at 6:40. You can hear it at 106.7, The Fan. And the NBA, Timberwolves sweep the Suns, winning game 4, 122-116. Anthony Edwards had 40 for the T-Wolves. Devin Booker had 49 for Phoenix. Former Wizard Bradley Beal had 9. And in the NFL, Dallas is agreeing to bring back Ezekiel Elliott to their roster. They need a lot of help at the running back, hoping that Zeke can be that help. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
So on Friday night after the, I think it was Friday night, maybe it was Saturday morning, but I think it was Friday night, Adam Peters met with the media, and it was to discuss, you know, all of the players that they had taken on night two of the draft, because they selected five players that night. They selected three players in the second round, two players in the third round. And I thought I would play back basically him going through the picks that they made, and talking about, you know, sort of the reasons for them and the expectations for them. Here's Adam Peters from the other night talking about night two, the five players after Jaden Daniels that were picked.
Yeah, it is. It was a great night for us, for everybody here, and we got a lot better, and we got a lot of guys who we consider commanders, and really proud of our process and identifying the right types of guys, and just couldn't be happier with the young men that we brought in today. And I can go through them here a little bit. I think just give you guys some bullet points, starting with Johnny Newton. And Johnny, we could not believe he was still there, and we were a little nervous that he wasn't going to make it to us at 36. We looked at moving up to get him. Very surprising. We had a first round grade on him, and he is an explosive, violent player. He's a team captain. He got the commander tag, and he's exactly who we want to bring in this building. We think he's an advanced player. He can come in and play right away. Really a three down player. You can play on the rundowns, play on pass downs. Skilled, hands and feet are tied together, and he arrives violently when he gets the ball, and he plays just like we want him to play. So just thrilled to get Johnny, and that started off a really good night for us. Then moving to Mikey Sanders, still another captain, and another one where we were pretty nervous there, because as it was coming down to him, I mean, that's what we had our sights set on. And Mikey is a guy who's impressed myself for a really long time since he was a freshman, seeing him catch passes, and he transitioned to corner and playing nickel, and had six interceptions last year, and was really the heart and soul of that Michigan team. I think anybody will even tell you. I know JJ had a big part in that too, but I think anybody will tell you Mikey, as much as anybody, was a team leader. And I think what sealed the deal with us is when we went to the pro day, and he was incredible doing the DB drills, and then he was the best one on offense doing the receiver drills. Outstanding route runner, outstanding ball skills, and he could just go all day. And the night before, we had dinner with him, and he was as impressive off the field as he was on the field. So we were thrilled to get him. He'll be a great nickel. And then you go to Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, and just really, you know, from my experience at the 49ers, learning from those guys and learning what they look for in tight ends with Coach Shanahan, Kyle, and everybody there, just seeing, and it's a lofty comparison, and I'm not comparing him to the guys we had in San Francisco, but he reminds me of guys like Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle, the way he blocks and the way he moves and just the way he competes. And certainly not, you know, putting him in that, you know, those guys are all pros, pro bowlers, everything you'd want. But Ben has that same mindset, and he plays with that mindset. He can block really anywhere. You can put him in at the end of the line of scrimmage. You can block a DN. You can block a linebacker. You can block a defensive back in space. You'll block two people on the same play. If you saw that highlight, that was pretty cool. He can play fullback and block people on the second level. So he can do anything you want in the run game. And in the pass game, he's got great hands. Can get open. He can beat man coverage, and he's got that mindset. When he gets the ball in his hands, he's not going down. So he's got everything we're looking for in a commander as well. Then getting to Brandon Coleman. Brandon Coleman's another team captain, and he really impressed us. We had him in here on a 30 visit. Really loved his story, and he's got over 1,600 snaps at tackle. He also played guard. We see him as a tackle, and we think he could be a really good tackle. He's really experienced. He's got heavy hands. He's a really good athlete. So we were really fortunate to get him where we got him. And then last but not least, Luke McCaffrey, near and dear to my heart with the McCaffrey family. They're an incredible family. Sure, it's a great way. You know, it's certainly a bonus when you draft somebody to know that. But Luke earned that, and Luke was a captain at Rice as well. He had took a road less traveled, where he started off as a quarterback and really taught himself how to be one of the best receivers in the country in the last 2 years. So he's got size, he's got speed, he's got great movement skills, and I think he's only going to ascend. And we're really, really excited to have him in the building too. So exemplary players and really exemplary character with all those guys, and that's why we're so happy. That was a long answer, huh?
It was a long answer, but it was helpful to hear him go through that. Look, Johnny got the commander tag. That was the first time I've heard that, the commander tag. Lots of commanders in there. Yes, I did notice that. But no, that was helpful to kind of get his overall thoughts on all of those players. I think the McCaffrey thing is very interesting, especially considering with what they have right now at wide receiver, specifically in the slot. When you're talking about Jamison Crowder, they added Olamide Zaccheaus, and you could potentially see a guy like Luke McCaffrey. I know he's 6'1", 3/4", 6'2", right around there, but quick route runner. There was something else that he said, though, the other night that I wanted to play, and I didn't see this actually until just a few minutes ago. He was asked about the offensive line, and if he feels like the team still needs to add more to the offensive line. Here's what Adam Peters said.
Yeah, not so much a need. I would just say if the right player was available tomorrow, we'll take an offensive lineman just like we'd take any other position. So we do a cool thing. Well, tomorrow morning we'll talk with all the scouts and really everybody who's in that draft room, and they're going to all stand on the table.
Yeah, he does something here that they didn't in the 49ers. And before these draft days, he asks everybody, all the scouts, tell me the player that you would love to see us draft today. Well, on that final day, they added a backer, a corner, and another defensive lineman. They did not add an offensive lineman. But I thought the first part of that answer where he says not so much a need, again, like with respect to the players that are on the roster, still on the roster, not the ones they let walk or not the ones that they've released, those that were here last year that are still on the roster, we don't know what they think of these players. We don't know how these players may fit into this scheme and didn't fit in to last year's scheme. It's very possible that, you know, your entire offensive staff looks at the players along the offensive line and they say, we needed the center, we needed another guard, but my God, Cosme fits exactly what we're trying to do, and we really like Lucas and Wiley. And yeah, we need some depth, we just don't know. We do not know. They're not letting anybody really in on what they think of a lot of these players that are still here from last year. It's very possible, especially the young players. Take Forbes as an example. You know, you can't bury him after 1 year when the team was such a bad team and such a dysfunctional team last year. Let's see with a more stable situation what this next group gets out of these guys. Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Director, next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.